Let's begin. We're up to a new parak, parak chaf hei. Parak chaf hei pasik, pasik aleph ben eshem v'chamei shana. We have learned the end of parak chaf dalet, death of Yoyash. Yoyash dies, and not only did he die, he was killed by his servants. Ammon, two servants from the nations of Ammon and Moab. We learned the Rashi yesterday, it was Mida Keneged Mida. Yoyash was ungrateful to Yehoyada, he killed Zachariah. Therefore, Midik Negamid, Hashem brought about his death through two servants from Ammon and Moab, from two nations, and also lack in Hakaras HaToiv, and he was killed. Who became the new king? His son. We mentioned yesterday, 2 days ago, this was very unusual, where there was an assassination, it was a coup, and he was replaced by the person's, the king's son. Normally, when a king is assassinated, so there's a goal to replace him with a different family, a different person. If you want to kill the king so that his son should replace him, eventually, over time, a person dies naturally and his son will succeed, will take his place. So why do you want to risk your life and kill the king? Well, anyway, this will be the natural line of succession. But obviously things were so bad. The matzah was so horrible. What happened with when Ammon came to attack, and they brought upon him different diseases, and the Mishkav Zohar, all of these horrible things happened. The people could not even wait for him to die naturally, even though he was sick. They wanted his son to take his place immediately. So now we come to
I realize just something this second. It says he was killed by Zohar ben Shimas Ammonis. Those are the mother's names. Shimis Hamoinis. It doesn't say Hamoini. And it says Shimrit. Shimrit is a name they use today even. Hamoinis. So they passed and there was...
Hamoinis.
Hamoinis.
Wait, these are women who killed him? It doesn't seem like...
No, the mothers. It says Zavod Ben Shimos. Shimos was his mother, not his father.
And he gave his father...
Uh-huh. That's very interesting. So
he says Shimris was his mother. So they were Yidden.
Because already at this point in time, this is after David, of course, it was accepted. I'm loyni v'loy mayavis and mayav loy mayavis.
That's why it says.
Aha. Very interesting. So they're actually Jewish.
But the point is just to show that they were the gene was from those
nations, but there was no problem of the gerus because it was from the mother's side, which is permitted, not from the father's side, which is not accepted. Very interesting. If it would have been from the father, so it would not have necessarily been a question because
they could have been goyim,
or it could have been that they were Jews. You have this many times in Divayim and Malachim. There were Jews living in the nation of Ammon and Moab, so they were called by their hometown. Like in Europe, we used to call Labacha from just the town that he came from. Wherever you come from, you call by your town. So if it would have been from, but you say something much deeper that since it says the mother's name, it means they were actually converts. And the conversion was legal according to halacha because amoinis is permitted. So the mother was a convert. That means her child would have been a full fledged Jew. It's a very, very good point.
And the main street was still there.
The what?
Yeah, the gene is still there.
Obviously, yeah. So the gene is still there, right? The Ben Midos obviously was still there. Yeah, that's what Rashi at least is telling us. Okay, Pasik Chafei Ben Eshem v'Chamesh Shana Molach Amatzio Amatzio. So now Amatzio takes over. He was 25 years old. The Eshem v'Seisha Shana Molach Mishlam. He was king for 29 years. Birushalayim v'Shem Imo Yeho Adon Mirushalayim. The name of his mother was Yeho Adon. We'll see that I believe she will reappear at the end of this parak. Because Amatzia had to run away the last 15 years of his life, the last 15 years of his mouth, he was king for 29 years, the last 15 years he was in exile. And according to one of these, a question exactly who was ruling during the last 15 years of these 29 years. And according to one opinion, it was his wife, it was Amatzia's wife. So that would make a difference. So it was a different person. But over here it tells us his mother, whenever he tells his mother, Chazal say that indicates that the mother had a major influence upon his upbringing, and if he was good or bad, the one that gets credit is the mother. Because the father is usually like Yoash, was too busy in matters of Malchus to raise the children. You see that today very often, people are very busy, very successful people, they don't have time for the children, which is not a very good thing. And and the one that raises them has the most influence upon them, and this obviously does not speak well for his mother because he was not exactly a tzaddikal, at least not most of his life. Let's see what happens. Pasuk, we'll run through a couple of psukim, then we'll come back to the Mesudas and Rashi. Pasuk base. Vayas ha-yoshar b'enei Hashem. That's pretty good. He did what's good in the eyes of Hashem. But rak lo b'levav sholeh. He did not serve Hashem with a full heart. So that's really a contradiction. He did yoshar. So yoshar means he was good. But then it goes on and says not 100%. So it could be that his actions, at least his deeds to the public and for public relations were good, but it was not with a full, sincere heart. That was only in the beginning. At the end of his life, we're going to see very soon, he really turned very, very sour. Pasuk Gimel, Vayayhi kasher chazka hamamlocha alav. When his malchus was strengthened, when he had a firm grasp of his malchus, he was secure. When a new king takes office, he takes control. It takes time to learn the ropes. It takes time to really understand what's going on. And a new appointee, a new king, a new officer feels vulnerable. He doesn't know who out there he can trust, who he cannot trust. So he's afraid to take and make any bold moves, to take any do anything extreme. What would have been the first item of the agenda when he would become king? It would be to assassinate, it would be to murder, to bring to justice the people who murdered his father. His father was murdered by these two servants from Ammon and Moab, and that would be seemingly the first thing on his agenda to bring justice to the people who were responsible. But he did not do that right away, because it seems that he was afraid for his own life. Was also not secure in his malchus. So it's only when he was kasher chozka hamamlocha alav, when the malchus was strong upon him, he took full control, he had full understanding. Then he punished the perpetrators for his father's murder. Vayaharog es avadov, his servants, hamakim es hamelech aviv, who were responsible for killing the king, his father. Now here we have something very interesting. Pasuk dal vi es b'nehem lo himis. Amatsyahu did not kill the children of the people that killed his father. Why? It's a pasuk in the Torah. Kakosuv b'Torah b'Sefer Moshe asher tziv Hashem leimar, Hashem commanded saying, Lo yamusu avos al banim uvanim lo yamusu al avos. Ki ish b'cheto yamusu, a person, only everyone is responsible for their own actions. We don't punish children or parents for the sins of their fathers or sons. Now, what's going on? Why is the pasuk need to mention this? And first, why would he? Does that mean otherwise we would have done so? So possibly yes. It could have very well been that this was how society worked in ancient times, especially not among the nations of Klal Yisrael, but other nations. That if a person was suspect and he had to be killed because he could have committed a crime, it was very common. They would wipe out the whole family. You know, today it's done today. Go read the news in the Arab nations. It's not so unheard of even today, because you can't trust anyone. People, they were very paranoid. It was a very dangerous world. And if this person killed his father, so who says that the children won't come forward? But Klal Yisrael has higher standards, and the rules are, a person is accountable for his own sins and does not transfer over to a person's children or to a person's relatives. That's one of the reasons you say even al pi halacha, a parent makes the bracha when his son is bar mitzvah, baruch shepotrani me einshe shalzeh, which basically means that no longer, there are different interpretations of what that means, but it goes both ways. That no longer will the sins of the child, until the child is bar mitzvah, to some degree, we don't know what this means exactly, but to some degree, the sins of a child, his sins are, the one that's going to be punished for those sins will be the father. And vice versa, if a father, Rachman al-Slan, is guilty of doing any avera, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can punish the father by taking away his child. We don't know exactly what that means, but that's what Chazal says. When a person becomes bar mitzvah, that is removed. That is no longer true. Now each individual is independent, and no one will be punished for the sins of the other. And That's what it says over here. Now, why is this being mentioned over here? Why don't we find this idea mentioned by any other king, by any other crime committed in Tanakh? There are many incidents when David commanded that Yoav be killed. Do you have any mention that David made sure, David told Shlomo, by the way, when you kill a Yoav, and when you kill this one, kill that one, make sure you don't kill their children, just kill them. Do you have any mention of such a thing? Where a king is coming to punish someone for doing an Avera, and there's going to be an explicit mention that he didn't kill his children? Of course, that's the halacha. That's what it says in the Torah. And of course, Klai Yisrael is not like the nations of the world. So the answer is obvious that this is going back to the previous perek. The previous perek, Yoash murdered Zechariah. And the chait of Yoash, as it says explicitly, is v'lo zochar, he did not remember his father. And this was on the mind of Amatziyahu. Amatziyahu, every single day, I saw this one of the Mepharshim, every single day he saw the blood of Zechariah bubbling. And it was a constant reminder to the generation that lived after Yoash and for all generations until the time of Nebuzaradan and Churban Beis HaMikdash, the chait of not being makir toiv, of the connection between a son and a father. We should not have killed the son. The son, to some degree, is an extension of the father. How could we have murdered Zechariah when his father, Yehoyada, was the Kohen Gadol, had done so much for Klal Yisrael? So now when it came in the opposite direction, when it came now time to punish someone for their sins, so someone can make the mistake. Oh, bra kara davua. The son is an extension of the father, just like we should have been makir toiv to the father by having rachmanis on the son. So too, when it comes lara, when it comes for punishment, it's a two-way street. When a person is a rasha, how more wicked could you be than kill the king, the Mashiach Hashem? You know, he's dealing with Yoash. Yoash was the Mashiach Hashem. Yoash did actually live in the Kodesh HaKodashim for 6 years. They worshipped him as an idol. He did terrible averus, but Sof Kol Sof, he's the Mashiach Hashem. He's the anointed, the Zer of David. You're going to murder the king? The riches is so great, there must be a pagam in the Yichus. There must be a pagam in the whole family. The children also have to die. V'horayah, look at the blood. The blood of Zechariah is bubbling because Berah, Kara Davua. Would we have done such a thing like this to Yehoyada? Never. So how could we have done this to Zechariah? It's a two-way street. When it comes to eradicate, to obliterate vicious evil, you got to wipe out the father and the son. So this was a dilemma. It was something, and it was something that was on their mind. It was something which was bothering them, and that's why it was they made a very strong point of saying no. It's not a two-way street. When it comes for good, good has a much higher standard than ra. When it comes to reward, Hashem does chesed, what do we say, what does it say? Hashem does chesed for 1,000 generations. V'zoicher chas te'ovo, so maybe gwel v'nei v'neim l'man shmo b'yavo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers the schus avos for all generations. But when it comes l'ra, no, lo yumsu avos al banim, banim lo yumsu al avos. You don't. There is no connection. Each person is independent, and you're not held responsible. So that is why it's so out in the open and it's expressed, because it was bothering them at this point
in
time.
That's why it says earlier that in his heart, lo lev of shalom.
He really wanted to do it.
He really wanted to do it. There's another reason.
Yeah.
Come back.
Yeah.
Their fathers, by killing the king, made him the king.
Right.
So he owes them a
toiva.
Right.
You don't want to owe anyone anything.
No, since he owes them a toiva, so then they are the banim of the, like Zechariah was the son of.
Yeah.
Of
so you have to repay.
So actually, these kids,
you can't say, that's a very big stretch. You can't say that, oh, I owe you a toiva because you killed my father, you made me king. I'm Michael the toiva. I'm Michael. I'd rather have my father than be king. Anyway, I would be king.
When you say dynamis, you say toiva meitiv, right?
No, that's on Yerusha. That's on Mominus. It's Michael the toiva. Anyway, he would have been king. He would have anyway been king. How? Al piderecha olam. Yoyosh would have died at some point. He was anyway sick and old. Anyway, would have died. So you accelerated. You gave me another year of Malchus. It's not likely, but it's just something which was. On the conscience of the people living at that generation. And that's why specifically here at this point in time, there was a point made, we're not going to kill the children of this evil Russia. I mean, you can say about the Nazis, the Rishis, the Midos are so terrible. That's what it says about Amalek. Timcha Zecher Amalek, Mitachas HaShemayim. Everyone, men, women, children. Because it's ingrained in their blood, the rishis. That would be the natural thing to do. And the harai, when it comes to be makir tov, you have to do so. So when it comes to rishis, no. The Torah says it's not the way it goes. Every person in Klal Yisrael is independent. You don't behave in such a fashion. Okay, next. Now we come to pasuk. This is a good break point. So let's read over here the mitzudas in Rashi. Mitzudas pasuk dalid. That's pasuk dalid. We mention also Moshe Rabbeinu. Albanim ba'avur avoyin albanim. There must be something very deep. Why he's mentioning Moshe? Moshe's. Okay, let's go. Albanim ba'avur avoyin albanim. Ish becheta yumusu. Ratzalaymer kol hametsim himo kol ish becheta v'loy bechet zulasa. A person only dies for his own sins. You do not die for the sins of someone else. Pasik. Pasuk now Rashi, it's no Rashi. Let's now go to the next stage. Now we begin a whole new story. Pasuk hey, Vayikbots will wheel money pasukim. Then we'll come back to the mafarshim later. Vayikbots Amatziyahu es Yehuda. Amatziyahu, he now gathered. He wants to go to war. He wants to go to war against Seir. Okay, we're finished now with Aram. Aram is not a problem at this moment. The Pelishim are not a problem. Moab is not a problem. Ammon's not a problem. Who is the thorn in the side of the Jewish people at this point in time? It's like musical chairs. Every generation pops up a nation here or there you never thought of. They were not on the agenda, on the radar screen for a long time. All of a sudden, we got a new problem. Seir. Esav now, some reason, is making trouble for Klal Yisrael. So, we have to go to war. What are we going to do to go to war? There's going to be a draft. We have to train the soldiers, train the troops. So he gathers together. He gathers the Yehuda. And he has everyone makes a census. Everyone is stationed according to their family. Everyone is divided gzuntayed by the leaders of the thousands. There are different generals. The whole in the hierarchy. Of generals who are in charge of 1,000, ulasari hamios, those who are in charge of 100, ulachol Yehuda, uvinyamin, among the two shvatim of the malchus of Yehuda and Binyamin, vayifkideim, and he counts them, limiben eshem shon of amal from 20 years and above, vayim tsoim shalosh meos elef bachur, 300,000 young men, yotzei tzavah, who are eligible to go out to war, oiches, who are strong, are trained in holding on to a romach, a spear, vitzino, and a shield. Now this is a very sad pasuk because I don't have the exact numbers, but if we go back a couple of generations, the time of Yehoshaphat, I believe, the numbers there were like 800,000, I think. 800,000. So what's going on? Population growth from 800,000. How do you go from 800,000 in the span of, what is it, 100 years? Something along those lines, maybe more, maybe a little bit less, from 800,000 to 300,000 in about 100 years, or whatever it was. You should have tripled four or five times, especially if everyone is having 12 children, right? So what in the world is going on here? The answer is because during this period of time there was a lot of Avodah Zarah, and there were a lot of wars, and there's a lot of sin, and when there's sin there's a lot of tzaras, and that's the punishment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused them to diminish significantly in number due to their chatoim. Very sad state of affairs. I only had 300,000. Vayisko, now he said to himself, Amatzio, he was a smart man, we have to go to war against Seir. 300,000 troops is not going to do it. We need more. where will I get more soldiers? I'll go to my neighbors.
That wasn't enough.
That was not enough. That was his assessment. His assessment was it was not sufficient to go to war. So he goes to the other king, the Malchus of Israel, of Ephraim, of Israel, and he says to the king, who was the king at that point in time? The king there, Vayiskar Yisrael. From that we'll see his name, different kings. We'll see in one moment. The names are very similar. There's a lot of confusion of names because they all were named after the same people. But Vayiskar, so he went to the king of Yisrael and he said, can you do me a taiva? Can you lend me some of your soldiers? So the king said, for a price, I'm not going to let my, have my soldiers fight a war which is not nogea us. For some reason, it was not a threat. Seir was not threatening the Aser Sashvatim. Seir was a threat to Yehuda ben Yamin. So the king of Yisrael said, it's an opportunity to make some money. I anyway have my reserves, my soldiers sitting around and doing nothing. So for some money, I'll send them into battle for you. Indeed, Vayiskar mi Yisrael, he hired from Yisrael, 100,000 gibor choyil, b'meya kikar kesef. 100 talents of silver was the price to hire 100,000 warriors. These are called gibor choyil. It could be these were specially trained soldiers, Navy SEALs, special ops, were there going to go and join the 300,000 soldiers who knew how to hold spears and shields. Fine. So now they're ready to go. We have an army.
So that is a cheap price.
100,000 soldiers
for one kikar?
For one kikar, yeah. I can't. No, kesef, silver.
A kikar is a basket, right?
Silver.
A kikar is a talent. I don't know the formula. Okay, so it says for 100 kikar, it seems from the psukim that it was significant because we're going to see what happens now.
The money, not the people, not the soldiers.
The government got the money. All right, whatever it was. Pasuk Zayin. So now he has an army of 400,000 soldiers, 300 of his own, 100 from 100,000 from his neighbor, from the Melech of Yisrael. And he's ready to go to war. And he gets a visit. Who comes to visit? On prophet. And then the pasuk doesn't say who the prophet is. Chazal tell us this was Amos. Who was Amos? Amos, the father of Yeshaya. Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amos. Asher chazah al Yehuda v'Yushalayim. So this is the father of, he already have the roots of Yeshaya. The Ish who Elokim ba, a godly man comes. This beautiful medrash we'll get to in a moment, that tells us that all the prophets, the major prophets, were called an Ish. The Ish who Elokim ba, initially, Kim comes, a love lemar. A person comes to him saying, "The Yisrael Kim bo a love lemar, Hamelech al yavo imcha tzva Yisrael." These are his words. The psukim are very cryptic. It's hard to translate the psukim literally, but he says to him, "The king, you, the king, I'm warning you. Do not. You can go to war. That may be a good idea, but do not join with the king of Yisrael because you, compared to them, are a tzaddik." He wasn't 100%, as we mentioned. It was not Belev of Sholem, and he's going to do some terrible things soon. But he says to him, the kingdom of Yisrael are Rishoim. They're worshipping idols. By joining with them, you're joining your partner. You're becoming a partner with wicked people, and their sins are going to cause you to fall in battle. This is mamish the parsha of going to war, Muhammad Rishus, and where the Meshuach Muhammad says, "Mihu ish hayare v'rach halevav yelech v'yoshuv leveisa." And what do Chazal interpret that to mean? Who is afraid of averos shebiyado? The person, besides after the exemption of the person who built the house, who built the vineyard, who got married. But after they go home, the last question, according to many mafarshim, that's the only reason why we send away the people who built a house and got married and planted a vineyard, is not to embarrass the fourth category of people, who are the people who are yorei me'avero shebiyoto, because of an avera, they will fall in battle, and when they fall in battle, that's going to melt the heart of all of the other people, and they're all going to die. Therefore, That's what's happening over here. All of these 100,000 people are wicked, and they're going to cause all of your people who would otherwise not stumble in battle to fall. So HaMelech al-Yavah imchot Tzva Yisrael, let the Tzva Yisrael not go together with you. You have a Tzva Yisrael versus the Tzva of Yehuda. Ki ein Hashem im Yisrael. Hashem is not with Yisrael, referring to the Malchus of Yisrael. Who are the Malchus of Yisrael? So here he defines, Kol b'nei Ephraim. The Malchus of Yisrael is called the Malchus of Ephraim, because Yeravam ben Nevat, we mentioned this many times, and Rashi here brings it out again, Yeravam ben Nevat came from Shevet Ephraim, so the 10 Shvatim under his authority was called the Malchus of Ephraim. Ki im bo ata, if you want to go, go, gezun tehet. Ki im bo ata. If you want to go with your 300,000 soldiers, go right ahead. I say, do it, fight. Chazak, be strong, la milchama. Now there are missing words in this pasuk. This is how Rashi and the Mizutz explain, and you have to really add the words now, because pen, if lest you join with this army, yachshilcha ha'elokim lefnei oyev. Hashem will cause you to stumble before your enemy. And now you have to add more words. And what are you going to tell me? I'm not going to go fight, because 300,000 soldiers is not enough. It's not an excuse. If Hashem wants you to win, you'll win with 300,000 soldiers. If Hashem wants you to fail, you'll fail to lose with 400,000 soldiers. So it's not a number game. It's a game of zuchusim. If you have the merits, you'll succeed. If you don't have the merits, no matter what you do, you're not going to succeed. And therefore, ki yesh koyach be'elokim, Hashem has the power, la'azar, to assist, u'lahachshil, and to cause you to stumble. We don't appreciate the significance of this time, because during the time of Avodah Zarah, when they worshiped idols, there was a belief in Zugos. There's a God of good, and there's a God of bad. If you win, it's the God of good. If you fail, it's the God of bad. There's a God of the night, a God of the day. There's a God of the sun, a God of the moon. There's no such thing of a taruvus. You can't go mix basa v'cholof. You can't go mix two different koichas. We know that's apikorsis. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echot. Everything, Yoitza Orivari Choshech, Kadosh Baruch Hu is everything. Kadosh Baruch Hu has the koyach to do good, to cause a person to succeed, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he wants, will cause a person to fail. And that's exactly what he's saying over here, is ki yesh koyach b'lokim la'azor u'la'achshil, Hashem has the power to cause, to assist, to, if he wants, or to cause you to fail. Pasuk test. So v'yomer amatzio le'ishu l'kim u'ma la'asos. Now this is just shocking. Not shocking, I shouldn't say shocking. It's maybe expected, but it's also shocking. So he says, okay, but what about the money? What about the money? I already paid. I already gave a check, 100 kikar for the 100. They'll never give me a refund. If I go and I tell them, especially if I tell them that you came to me, the Ish Elokim, and said that you're a bunch of Rishoyim and a bunch of frauds and you're not going to help, they'll never give me the refund. Vayomer amatziyahu le'ish elokim u'ma la'asos b'ma'asa kikar asher nosati le'gedud Yisrael, that I've given to the Gedud Yisrael. Unbelievable answer. Vayomer ish elokim yesh la'Hashem. Hashem has plenty of money. If Hashem wants you to get rich, you'll be rich. Hashem wants you to lose the money, you'll lose the money. Yesh la'Hashem loses l'cha harbe mizeh. Don't worry. Hashem will make it up to you. He'll make it up to you. You'll write it off. Just write it off as a loss, and you'll get your money back. Unbelievable, huh? You have an exciting business, and it's a problem. Just write off the loss. Hashem will make up the chasaran. Unbelievable. Vayav dileim amatzio. So he listened. This is to his credit. This is an amazing pasuk. The Ish Elokim, he had influence on Amatziohu. He listened. He gave up all that money. Vayav dileim amatzio lehagedud asher bo elav me'efraim. He told them, separate. Lolechas l'mekoyimam, go back home where you came from. You're not coming with us. Because he basically told them, you're a bunch of Rishoyim. The Ish Elokim told me that if you go with us, we're going to lose. We don't need your help. Go back home. And the money, we'll moichel the money, keep the money. They were very insulted. Can you imagine how this played off on the blogs?
Sure
what they wrote about
insulted.
This?
They didn't do anything. We got the money.
It was a dignity. Those days, your honor, my dignity. Go and fight. We have the best weapons. We have the training. It's an insult to their honor. In ancient times, covered was everything. We think we're obsessed. We are obsessed with COVID, but the degree that we're obsessed with COVID is probably nothing compared to the COVID that people were sensitive to. They were sensitive to in those times. Vayichar apom me'od, powerful words. They were furious, livid. The Yehuda, in Yehuda, people of Yehuda, because of that, how they have been rejected. They were rejected by Amatsyahu, by Yeshuva Limkaimam, b'chori off. They went back home in anger. And this is going to have consequences. Anger, they didn't just live it down. We're going to see soon that they attacked. There was a civil war. They went and they attacked Yehuda soon. We'll see that soon. Okay, let's see over here. Let's see a few more psukim. V'amatsyahu hitzchazak. Amatsyahu, he went and he strengthened himself. He told the soldiers, let's go to war. Vayin hages amo, and he guided his people. He went with them, it appears. Vayelech ge hamelech, name of a place, some valley of salt, name of a location. Vayach es b'nei seir aseres alafim, and he succeeded. He wiped out 10,000 soldiers of Seir. His 300,000 soldiers killed 10,000 soldiers. Now, here is one of the very horrifying pasuk. And Chazal dwell on this, and they tell us that this was the beginning of Galus. That this pasuk that we're going to read, is one of the starting point of the Churban Beis Hamikdash. Or I should say the Churban Beis Hamikdash. There are two dinim. There's the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, and there's also the idea that we were taken into Galus. We were thrown out. We were exiled from the land. It could be one thing where the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed. You don't have a Beis Hamikdash, but you're allowed to live in the land. Like today, look at today. Today we have Eretz Yisrael, more or less, right? We control Eretz Yisrael. We have Beis Hamikdash. Are we allowed to go touch the Beis Hamikdash? The world war III will break out if we go. We stop playing around the world doesn't tolerate us having anything to do with the Temple Mount. Even going there. I mean, the Rabbanim tells not to go there, but you know what I mean. So there's something called having Eretz Yisrael. And not having a base, and not having a base on English. But there's another darga, it's even worse, which Baruch Hashem, we don't have that today, where you don't even have Eretz, so you exiled from the land, you're completely controlled by the Umos Olam. And that is alluded to, that punishment, that gezeira, starts with the pasuk we're about to read. Amatsyahu, he killed 10,000 soldiers, and then he took another 10,000 soldiers, and he tortured them. How did he torture them? He threw them off a cliff, like the Dafyomi, like the Sur La Azazel. He took them to a cliff, one at a time, and he threw them off a cliff. And they died a horrifying death. Vaseres Alofim Chayim, another 10,000 people, alive, Shavu, he captured, he took as captives, the Bnei Yehuda took captives, 10,000 people, Vayivium L'Rosh HaSola, they brought them to the top of a cliff, Vayashlichum Merosh HaSela, they threw them down a cliff like the Sarla Azazel, the Chulam Nivkahu, and they blew up, when they made impact with the ground, they split open. This Hashem was watching in Shemaim and said, this is what you do, this is how you behave. What did I give you Eretz Yisrael for? Get out of here. You want to be cruel, achzorim, like the Umos HaOlam? So good. Go live among the Umos HaOlam. This is what a person, as you know, Yair Shemayim, is not makir, that Selim Elokim, this is what they do. That's the Umos HaOlam. I gave you the Torah to be different than the Umos HaOlam. You don't want to behave like a human, but you should behave. So, you know what? Get out of my holy land and go live in Chutz Liaretz. This is when the Gezerah, according to the Medrash, from the Gezerah of Golos already began, approximately 300 years. This was about 250 years before the Churban Beis Hamikdash.
They were killed, or the method in which they were killed?
The method in which they were killed. The method. they were killed. So let's take a look at the Mitzudas and Rashi and some ideas that are mentioned over here, starting with Pasuk Hey. Okay, the Mitzudas, Pasuk Hey, Lebeis Avosim. So now Amatziyahu wants to go to war, and he gathers all of his people, and he gathers them based upon their family, Lebeis Avosim, L'chol Beis Av, L'chol Levat, L'chol Sar, Elef, U'meya, Im Anosh, Levat. Everyone was gathered by their number, by their family, and by their leader. Pasuk Zayin, Kol B'nei Ephraim. I mean, this, the Mitzudas says this idea appears many places. Malchus Aseres Hashvatim Keruya Al Shem Ephraim. Al, because Ki Yeravim Hamelech Harishon, the first king, Hamelech Harishon Shaleim Hoya Mibnei Ephraim. He was from Ephraim. Pasuk Ches Ki Imbo Ata Amatzio Amotz comes to Amatzio and says to him, "What are you doing? Don't go and join forces with these wicked people." Ki im bo ata bo lemulchama levat. You want to go to war? Go by yourself. Velo imohem. Because if you go with them, yachshilcha, Hashem will cause you to stumble. Rotzalaymar pen yachshilcha uminyonoi tovin chesroinoi. Mitzudas is saying that from the context you will understand that there are missing words, and you will understand how you have to interpret this pasuk. Verotzalaymar. Im yavahu imcha tzva Yisrael, if the tzva Yisrael will come with you, pen yachshulcha ho'elokim lufnei hoyev, I'm afraid that Hashem will cause you to stumble before your enemy because of the wicked sins, the wicked nature of your partners. Pasuk tes umalasos. Amatzio says, but what about the money? I paid them 100,000. I gave them 100 talents of silver. Umalasos rotzalamar v'chi afsid hakesef halo lo yachziruli. There's no refund. I'm not going to get my money back. So he says to them, Yesh la Hashem, v'yimale chesroincha mimokoi mach. If only we took this pasuk seriously. You have to do the right thing, and the right thing costs money. And you don't have to worry about the money. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it up. If you do the right thing for the right reason, Hashem will make up the money for you from somewhere else. It's a very powerful pasuk. Pasuk Yud v'yavdilem. So what did he do? He listened. This is an incredible credit. How often do we find in Tanakh? Most of the time, when the Navi tells you to do something, you don't do it. That's you almost like a. You can be. That's what usually follows. But here, he listened. They have delay. Mibein Anshe Yehudi separated them. Vayichar Apam. They were furious. They were insulted. Ki lebizoyon yichoshev lohem. They were insulted. Everyone knew. The whole world was watching that they were rejected because the Navi Amotz told them what to do. Fascinating. And you listen. You're talking like it's just like. It really is an amazing thing because today the world mocks when you listen to a Rav, you go to a Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham is they always question Talmud Chacham. You know what's going on. You really understand how the world works. Who are you to tell us what to do? And you have a powerful army that's not religious, and a world, a whole environment that's not religious. And you see that you're listening to a rabbi. It's a very powerful roshim on the world, and it was considered to them to be a very big bizarre, but he did listen to Amos. Then what did they do? They went to war. They were successful. They killed 100,000 people. But then after they killed, they took captives another 10,000 people. They took captives another 10,000, and they threw these 10,000 off a cliff. Nifkahu nifka kresam, their stomachs burst open on impact when they hit the ground. Let's take a look at the Rashi's. Pasuk Zayin Rashi ki ein Hashem im Yisrael ki kol bnei Ephraim. Why? Why are we calling it Ephraim? Ki lefi sheirav mishav Ephraim hu hayah rishon shoyah shehechti es Yisrael. Uvichol dar v'dar achrav hayelohem l'moikish. Every single generation following Yerav ben Nevat, they were a cause of stumbling. They continuously worshipped idols. Shayu oivdim le'egle zav shel Yerav. Yeravam, his damage, the damage that he brought to Klal Yisrael, never went away. They continued to worship idols until they were exiled 250 years later at the time of Sancheriv. And it was always oivdim avodah zarah. Pasuk ches, ki im bo ata. Pisra, what does this word mean? Im lo tamin bidvarai, haloi tenase. So he says to him, this is very hard, I don't know, full grasp, I don't fully understand what Rashi is saying, but he's saying, if you don't believe me, try, test me. Just take go out to war with 300,000 soldiers. Forget about those. And you will see right away in the beginning of the war, everything will go in your favor. That you don't have to worry, you don't really need these people. If Hashem wants you to succeed, you will succeed. Next words, la'azor la'achshil, pishroin, yesh lo'ikoyach gvur la'azor l'cha b'loi chel shel Ephraim. Hashem has the power to cause you to succeed without the army of Ephraim. U'la'achshil o'ischa im to'lichem imach, and to cause you to stumble if they accompany you to war. Pasuk Yudbeis, what did they do? We went to war, they succeeded, now they took another 10,000 captives and they killed them. V'kulam nivku, nivku v'hi achar, nivku, let's go to the next word, v'hi achar bog, v'echar abasi, olof, nemar, v'rogaz, v'sochak, v'ein nachas. Okay, he's referring to Pasuk Yudbeis, he's referring to a medrash. The medrash he's referring to is that Hashem was very upset, because normally when HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, when Hashem does something good to you, you should feel the need to repay Hashem, to repay Hashem in a good way. So here, Amatzio was successful, and how did he repay Hashem for his success? By committing a crime against humanity, by torturing and murdering these 10,000 soldiers by throwing them off a cliff. Horrible, horrible death. Hashem considered this to be a very, very great sin and a betrayal for the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about his success. This is how you repay me, by making such a chilul Hashem and murdering people in such a gruesome way. Now, and it's comparing the medrash there in that pasuk that the Rashi is referring to, compares Achazio Amatziyahu to Ochos. Ochos was captured at one point in his Malchus. He was captured against, I think, the nation of Aram, and when he was defeated, he began to worship the Avodah Zorah of Aram. He said to himself, the only reason why we were defeated was because they have a greater God than we do. Look at their God. Their God is more mightier than ours, because we lost and they won. It must be. There's something to their God. I am going to convert. I'm going to worship their God. So Hashem says, it's such a sad state of affairs. Whatever I do, they're no good. If I cause them to succeed, they sin. I cause them to fail, They don't take Musa. Why did, what should Achaz have said? The reason why I failed was because I'm a sinner. No, the opposite. The reason why I failed was because they have a greater God. So Hashem has no nachas. Where the pasuk means v'rogaz v'sochak, whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows anger. Anger refers to Achaz. Hashem showed Achaz anger. He caused him to fail, to fall in the hands of his enemy. And what happened? Achaz says, it must be because they have a very great God, so I'm going to convert, I'm going to worship their God. The Sochak, Hashem smiles. Hashem brings about success. Who does that refer to? Our pasuk, Amatziyahu. He was successful. And how does Amatziyahu thank Hashem for his success? Now I've been successful, so I don't need you anymore, Hashem. I have already won, so now I can do whatever I want. I want to have some fun, so I'll torture these people. And more than that, Rashi really is referring to the next couple of sections, that when he, and not really so much the torturing, that's also part of the problem, but when he comes to Seir, part of the process of winning the battle, he discovered their Avodah Zarah. The Shikuts Moav came into Moav. They engaged the battle, they looted their temples, and they saw, wow, look at their gods. You know what? Let's also worship these gods. And Achaziyahu, from this point in time, turned sour, where he brought this Avodah Zarah into Eretz Yisrael and worshipped. So Hashem says, well, look at this. Whatever I do is no good. There is no nachas. I don't have any satisfaction for my children, whether I cause them to succeed in war or I cause them to fail, to lose war. In both situations, they turn to their Avodah Zarah, they don't need me, or they attribute their failure to the fact that there's another Avodah Zarah. Okay.
Why are we forced to think that this is random cruelty or fun? Why can't it be interpreted as deterrence?
So you're right. That's how the midrashim make it very clear that it was cruelty. It wasn't a It wasn't Laman Yishmu v'Yirohu v'lo Yizidu Nod.
Hashem helped them that they won the war with only 300,000. You kill 10,000, so it's not, another 10,000 is not going to make the difference. You have the strength of Hashem.
But
so
that's not.
You want to show the world. There is a limit. Chazal and the Midrashim are very clear, and it's really most of this is in Sefer Melachim. And Sefer Melachim is where most of the Mefarshim deal with this incident in more detail. And it was not necessary. It was not necessary, and it was not proper. It's not the proper. Just because you win doesn't give you a license to do this.
And secondarily, didn't he have as a Mohammed Rashif? Doesn't he have to get pre-approval by Sanhedrin?
So let's assume he did.
So the Ish comes to contravene Sanhedrin?
No. The Ish told him to go to war. In fact, the Ish said to him, you will succeed. The Ish has told him that don't join with Tzva Yisrael. Okay. You can go to war. The war was a legitimate war. It's a legitimate. Maybe it was a Muhammad's mitzvah. I'm not. I don't know. It was a Muhammad's
shit. Sanhedrin wouldn't have told him, don't join with them?
Doesn't say what Sanhedrin said about joining. Maybe they didn't know the answer. This was an element of Ruach HaKodesh. Not everything in Sanhedrin, halacha is not always hashkafa. You know, that's a very fine line. Where do you draw the line between alpi halacha? It's mutter. Is it the right thing in hashkafa? The meraglim is a classic example. You want to send meraglim? According to Shulchan Aruch, there's nothing wrong. You can send meraglim to go check out Eretz Yisrael. You want to see what's doing there? So go. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Rosh Sanhedrin. But Moshe said, it shows that you're not ma'amin in Hashem. And this is going to be the cause of everyone's death. So you see that halacha doesn't always follow with Hashem. You want to go to war? You want to join? You want to hire them? Api halacha, nothing is wrong. You can hire them. But they're Rishayim. You think their zuchus is going to enhance the Muhammad? That's not something that a Sanhedrin can tell you. That's something which a Navi, whose role is to give Musar, can address. Okay, so there are more things now. Before we go further, there's one other point about this Ish Elokim. I'll just read you a Medrash. I'll just run through the Medrash. Avos de Rabbi Nassan, it says, why there are 10 people, there are 10 Nevi'im that were given the title Ish. Okay, I'll read you very quickly. What does it mean, Ish? What does it mean, V'ish Elokim l'fisha motzinu asara nevi'im nikruhu Ish Elokim? Who are they? Moshe, Elkanah. Okay, Elkanah was the husband of Chana, Shmuel, David, Ido. Ido is in Treyasar. Ido is in Melachim. Shemayahu, Eliyahu, Elisha, Michayahu, and Amos, and he goes all the psukim. He goes all the psukim where we see. But interesting that there it's an exclusive group because we have 48 neviim. There are 48 neviim, and from the 40 only are called. Only 10 of them get the title Ish. Only 10 of them. So that says something. It says something about a minion. You have a minion. Anoshim, Ish knows that it's interesting that we have the word Ish because there are two words for man, Ish and Adam. What's the chilek between Ish and Adam? Ish has a plural. Ish turns into Anoshim. Adam does not have a plural. Now Adam can mean mankind. Adam sometimes is translated as mankind. So it means the whole, so it itself is the plural. But not all the time. Sometimes Adam is a yachid. One person, Adam HaRishon, it's not necessarily mankind. And it comes from the word, why is it so that Adam does not have a plural? Because Adam comes from the word Adame. Adame lo Elyon. Nebuchadnezzar said in his extreme gaiva, I'm also God. Adame, I will make myself similar. I will compare myself lo elyon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence is Echad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. There's no such thing as having more than one. So when you want to say Adam, in reference to Adam's similarity, Adam is created b'tzelem Elokim, then you refer to him as a Yochid, because Hashem is a Yochid. Every person is unique. But when you want to refer to people as they join together to contribute to a certain goal, then they are called an ish, because an ish can join with another ish to create, to become anoshim. We say in davening, ata chonein la'odom da'as umalamet la'enosh bina. So enosh comes from the word ish. Adam, so we have atochon l'adam, Adam das, enosh is bina. What is bina? Why do we associate das with Adam and bina with enosh? What is bina? Mevin davar mitoch davar. In order, when you want to, when people join together, when you have a group of people, anoshim, enosh, which refers to the idea of enosh, and you join together, and there's give and take, then you can come to a madreg of mevin davar mitoch davar, to depth. But when you're all alone, you're just atachonein le'odam, then it's just basic knowledge. There is das. Basic knowledge is just the yesodos. To compare one thing to another, that requires give and take. What do you have to say? What do you have to say? What do you have to say? Let's discuss this. Let's take into consideration your understanding, my understanding, his understanding, and together we'll have a deeper understanding. That's why in the Shemona Esrei we have the word bina in connection with the word enosh, but das, which is just the basic foundation of knowledge, in connection with the word Adam. And that would also mean, I don't know what the significance is, it's a very interesting thing to discuss, is to analyze the prophecies of these 10 prophets. These 10 prophets that have the name Ish, relative to the other the remaining of the 48 prophets. Possibly there's a puzzle. If you take the prophecies of these 10 people and you combine them together, there is one goal, there is one unit theme which comes together from all of these 10 different people. Okay, let's go a little bit further. A pasuk Yiral, v'amatz v'amatzio his chazak, he was successful, he strengthened himself, v'yinag esamo, he guided his people, v'yilach gei hamelech, imen gei hamelech, v'yach es b'nei seir aseres, no, I'm sorry, we did it right, pasuk Yid Gimel, okay, pasuk Yid Gimel v'nei agadut. Now, here is a frightening pasuk. The people were very insulted, people that the 10,000 people, I'm sorry, the 100,000 soldiers who were rejected, they came back home, and they thought about what happened, and they were very insulted. So what did they do? They attacked Yehuda. They went back from where they came from, and they attacked Yehuda, v'yivnei hagdud, asher, which the troop, the 100,000 soldiers, asher heshiv amatzio mileches imo, who he withheld, he told them to go back home, and did not allow them to come with him to war, la'mulchama, v'yivshitu be'orei Yehuda. They spread out. They attacked. They attacked the cities of Yehuda, Mishomron, v'yad beis choron. From Shomron is their capital, the capital of Ephraim, that was located in Shomron, all the way to Beis Choron, which was near, right near the cities of Yehuda. Vayagu mehem shalosha salafim vayavozu bizaraba. They attacked 3,000. 3,000 people died from Yehuda in retaliation for the insult of not being allowed to participate in this war, being rejected. Vayavozu bizaraba, and they took away spoils, and the spoils of Yehuda were taken away. And this, of course, was also in part punishment because of the gaiva of Yehuda in their success. The success of Yehuda got to them. And that's why they tortured the 10,000 soldiers, and also at this point in time they took back with them the Avodah Zorah of Moav, I'm talking of Seir, the Avodah Zorah, and they began to worship, because already they were nichshol, they were worshipping idols, and they were extremely arrogant, and they made a chil Hashem by throwing these 10,000 people off a cliff. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed the soldiers, the 100,000 soldiers who were insulted, to succeed in killing 3,000 members of Shevet Yehuda and taking spoils. Look at the Rashi, Pasuk Mitzudos, and Pasuk, no, there is no Mitzudos. Let's see the Rashi, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayafshitu b'bnei Yehuda mishoymon v'ad beis choron. So Rashi here is bothered. Why does it say shoymon and beis choron? Seemingly, if not for they, well, let's review what happened. These 100,000 soldiers, they came to the Malchus of Yehuda, and they were rejected. So we would expect they were insulted. They were insulted while they were still stationed in Yehuda. On their way home from Yehuda, which was right near Choron, all the way back to their capital, Shomron, they would stop off in neighboring cities and kill a couple of people here, a couple of people there, and plunder all their booty and take it back home. So the pasuk should have been written in the opposite order, that they attacked Vayafshitu from Beis Choroin back to Shomron. That's what we would expect, because we were there insulted. The 100,000 soldiers of Ephraim came to Yerushalayim, they came to Yehuda, and then they were told, you know what, go home, you're rejected, you can keep the money, go home. We're insulted, how dare you? On their way home, they would have now killed people from Beis Choron all the way back until they reached their hometown of Shomer. But it's the opposite order. So the answer is, what really happened was, it took time for them to realize what a bazillion it was. They first go home, okay, they got on the bus, they went all the way home. And then when they got home, they said, what happened? What did they do to us? So then they went back. Let's go take revenge. So they started
taking... They came home, and the people said, hey, what are you guys doing here? Look, they killed 10,000, another 10,000. Where were you guys when all the action was going on?
Exactly. So they went, that's right, we're going to take revenge. So then they went from Shomron to Beis Choron, they went back, and that's why the order is in this fashion. That's what Rashi explains. After they came home, Kidula El, like it says before, then Vayichar Apam Meod Biyehuda. Vayashuvu Limukaimam. Shem Loikain, if you're not going to learn that they got angry first when they got home, then the order should be the other way around. Shem Loikain Elam Yad Shenivdalu Matsya. If they got angry at the moment when they depart from Amatsya, Pashtu Bar Yehuda, Ho Yololoibar should have said, Vayavshitu Bar Yehuda, Mi Beis Choroin. At Shomron. So why does it say from Shomron to Beis Choron? They first got angry when they got home. Probably their wives gave them a hard time. Because they would have got to war.
They didn't make
money.
Spoils of war.
Spoils of war, exactly. They could have gotten the spoils of war, especially like you said, when they probably saw how successful they were. Okay, this is... Okay, so we'll stop here. There's more things to discuss. Maybe Blineda tomorrow. We'll stop here.